You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
What in God's name are we doing? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Holy crap, I don't know who the hell we think we are when we do something like that.
It's Monday night at 8 o'clock on the horn. That must mean this is Insincerious. I'm your host, Patrick Davis. With me, as always, the one, the only, the impeccable Anthony White. On today's show, we'll talk a little NBA, maybe a little NFL, maybe a little fake boxing. Rigged professional wrestling boxing that's
the
going
new
on.
Elite sport.
The elite sport that is gone down the drain. All that coming up, but we're going to start off. Did you like the new intro, Anthony? Are you a fan of the new intro, buddy?
I listen to it every day.
Every day. We built that last week. We had a week off. We said new intro time.
Yeah.
New intro time for everybody.
Waited till the last minute and got it together.
And got it together. So did you have a good weekend?
Had a great weekend. Finally got to the pool. So it means summertime. Didn't watch that much sports because, you know, Lakers.
The Lakers lost. You're now in my camp of the Spurs loss. And then, I mean, really, and we'll get into it in the second segment. We'll get into more of how this is just a disappointing NBA.
Luka had one job. You had one job.
Yeah, everybody was rooting for you for one thing. And then Austin FC was off this weekend. No game. Even though I texted you this weekend, I was like, you gonna watch a game? Because I'm really just become a real jerk about everyone who got really excited about Austin
really
FC has lost all excitement 6 weeks in, except for people who keep shooting off green gas at every picture I see of a party. But I keep giving people grief, and I was like, you gonna watch a game? And then realize the game wasn't that week. It's next week. But yeah, are you done before they even come to town? When they come to town, are you gonna get back into?
Oh, I'll be right back.
They come to town. But why don't we kick things off? Get into some questions of the day, Anthony. What do we got today?
All right. The first question is: if you heard in the news, the Boston Celtics made some huge staff change. Danny Ainge is now out at the president of basketball operations, and Brad Stevens is out as head coach. Stevens is going to replace Ainge. And just a little backstory on both of them: Danny Ainge was the instrumental in getting the 2008. Championship. He brought in Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, made the big three. He won the executive year 2008. And then he was also involved in the big trade that got for Brooklyn when he traded the Garnett and Pierce, got their three first round picks, which then in turn became, I think, Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And then they also traded for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, he basically got Garnett and put that team together, won a championship. And then instead of running off in the sunset with those guys, he got value out of them in the back end in an awful trade for Brooklyn.
Yeah, they call it like one of the worst or most lopsided trades.
I mean, if you look at the trade he got Kevin Garnett in, that was somewhat lopsided. I mean, he really got the most value. He got more value out of Kevin Garnett than the Timberwolves did, which is impressive.
Okay, most lopsided trade. That trade, the Brooklyn trade with the Celtics, or the Paul Gasol to the Lakers? Because everyone claims that one was super lopsided, too.
I'll say the Brooklyn trade, because people said the Powell, but that was before Marc Gasol ever played.
Exactly.
So when Marc Gasol played, that trade became...
It became relevant.
It became relevant. Also, you got to remember that they didn't do crap in Brooklyn. Like, they weren't a good team in Brooklyn when Pierce and Garnett were there. That's why it's so lopsided. You're like, oh, they just traded these guys. They were like, oh, we're never going to win with these guys again, and ditched them.
Yeah, smart move. And then Brad Stevens just shortly, he became the head coach 2013, and since then made the playoffs every season except his first season. So, first question for you. Is their tenure there a success or failure?
Oh, it's a source success. Anytime you win an NBA championship, it's a success. Not that many teams that win a championship. You win one, you're good.
But he started in 2003, so that's like almost a 20-year.
I know.
One championship in 20 years.
I say when you took over that team, how bad it was.
It was.
After, what was his name? The Louisville coach who came in?
Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino. When Rick Pitino came in and just destroyed that franchise.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it took a little while to kind of get picks back up. But what he's always done well is get picks and basically go, hey, look, these guys are on the way out. We're not getting there. we need to make a change, and then getting the right picks and then getting the right guys. If you look at what they're set up right now with Tatum and Brown and Smart and guys like that, these aren't wasted picks. So I don't think, because even if you can say, well, they're, you know, they got knocked out in the first round and they very much underperformed this year.
Right.
I think that has very much less to do with Danny Ainge and more to do with Brad Stevens on this account, because I think Danny Ainge, if you look at like that team, should it be doing better.
Well, but I mean, if you look at the tail end of Danny Ainge's career, he did make some very questionable decisions, especially with the picks.
Yeah.
He had all the plethora of picks and didn't do anything with it. And then, you know, some of these questionable signings, like the Tristan Thompson signing, that contract is ludicrous. And so, so what would you say then? If you are a Boston Celtics GM or owner, whatever, what are you looking for? Are you thinking to rebuild, or are you sticking with Tatum and Brown or one of them and building something around them?
I mean, I after seeing what Tatum did at the end of this year,
right,
when Brown went down, I think you have to kind of stick with Tatum and at least give him a run. Now, the question is, do you get a coach in there? And I think so much of it depends on what the coach you hire.
Yeah.
If you get a coach that says, I have an offense that both these guys can succeed in, and I have an offense that, you know, we can make this work, and Marcus Smart can be involved, and we'll find a way to make Tristan Thompson not just sit on the bench, and like we can find a way to make everybody involved in this offense. Or do you find a coach that comes in and goes, oh no, I can make Jason Tatum work, and yeah, let's trade off Brown and get some talent in there, you know, find some other guys and try and build something around it. And it, you know, you look at a Kemba Walker where you say,
Kemba's
got a ton of talent, but he's just never been able to piece it together. And I think part of it is, you know, he played on a UConn team where he was the guy. Yeah. And then he went to Charlotte for years and he's the guy. And he went to a team where they said, all right, you're not the guy anymore. We need you to not be the guy. And instead of improving other aspects of his game enough, and that's coaching, but instead of changing his game up, he's kind of just now a three-point shooter, which he's always been a good three-point shooter, but you go, we need a point guard to also facilitate. We need all of you guys to move more without the ball. We need more, you know, plays to get
they
things
need their,
moving.
They're Rondo again.
Yeah, and you need someone who can facilitate. And unless you're just going to say, well, we're going to do it at the end and ride or die with Tatum, which is, I mean, we'll talk about Trae Young later, and we'll talk about, but you talk about Allen Iverson, you talk about a Carmelo Anthony, and you go, there tends to be a lack of championships in that style of play.
Sure.
Well, and that kind of, you know, hold the ball, go. And now he's dominant.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I think you have to have the right coach that makes that work.
And you keep saying coaching. And so then I'll bring it to Brad Stevens. What do you think his legacy is? Because if you think, look at it, he made the playoffs every year, except for one since he was hired, but never went to the finals, never won a championship. He had all this talent, this potential. He had Kyrie Irving. He had Gordon Hayward. He's had Tatum. Now it's Kemba Walker. You know, he's had all these teams that were built to be a championship team and just never could do it. So what do you think his legacy would be?
I think his legacy, and we're going to see what he does in the front office. Yeah. I think the front office is probably a good space for him. He's clearly been a good talent scout of the guys they're bringing in and stuff like that. Yeah. I think it's just, if you look at kind of how their seasons go and how the relationships with players, it seems like he just kind of gives up at a point. It seems like he just kind of loses steam a lot. And if you see a guy like that where he's just constantly, you know, it's like, hey, we got so much potential, we got this, and then it doesn't work because they're all hard-headed players.
Yeah.
And if you're used to being, you know, being able to control that, and at a certain point that luster's off and the players go, I've won as much as you have, then you kind of it didn't seem like, cuz usually you either get angry or you lose your, you know, you lose your steam in there. And I feel like he didn't get angry.
Right.
If we were watching the Yankees, everyone's just yelling for Aaron Boone to get fired now.
Right.
Because Aaron Boone is even killed. And you go, when a coach doesn't have that fire anymore, you know, maybe move him to the front office where he doesn't have to be on the sideline and have that fire. He doesn't have to put that fire. And they need fire in Boston because too many guys making too much money and too much talent for them to be as bad as they are.
So then who is going to be their next black head coach? Because he's going to be black.
It's funny that it's like they're like, it's going to be a black guy or a woman. It's got to be. I mean, I don't know. We've seen a bunch of names. I think Jason Kidd is probably your front runner right now because he pulled his name out of the Portland.
All right.
And so that would make the most sense to me of why he pulled his name out of Portland. That's the only I don't get why he says he's not going to Portland if he doesn't already think he can get this Boston job or another job.
Okay.
So I think Kidd is probably, which I don't think is the best hire because.
Why?
Because I don't think he's ever really shown player development. Mm. And player development for me is one of the biggest factors of a coach. And I think he's a guy who can come in and coach players that are already there. And Boston has some of those. But if you're talking about, hey, man, we really need you to take this young guy who's got a lot of talent, but he doesn't know how to use it. You're going to have to be patient with him. And you're going to have to really work with him. And you're going to have to make sure he shows up to practice on time. And you're really going to have to take a vested interest in a guy who doesn't want it as much as you do. But we know he can be good enough.
Right.
But we're paying him $8 million a year. So I don't care that you don't think that he wants it enough. You need to make that happen.
Yep.
And great coaches make that happen. And that's where I think guys like Jason Kidd and a lot of ex-players lose it because they go, man, you know how hard I work to get where I'm
for
at?
For sure. Yeah, I see.
And they go, cool, we don't need him to be you. Yeah. He doesn't need to be a Hall of Famer. But we do need a guy who can play seventh in our rotation. And right now he's 11th, but he could be an X-Factor seventh guy if you gave him that time. And I think if you look at what the Spurs do and what Greg Popovich has done and other great coaches around the league do is they find those guys that are X-Factors who are maybe not the most athletically gifted or maybe not, you know, someone that was, you know, maybe it was known as a past head case or something like that.
Yeah.
And they reform those guys into something where they go, holy crap, this guy is the X factor in this series.
Yeah.
That's what you need. And coaches that are X players tend to not get those guys as much.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm excited to see who they pick.
Let me ask you though.
Okay.
Do you have any takes on the Celtics of if this team is going to be next year a top four seed, or do you think this team is going to be still dwindling back? Do you think they're going to basically be able to turn it around next year?
I agree with you. It all depends on who they hire as their coach. I do think that they need to go ahead and let go of Brown. So build your team around Tatum. Find parts that work for his skill sets. I don't know what you do with Kemba Walker. I mean, if you can find a coach that can work with him, maybe.
And, I mean, that's possibly a Jason Kidd with Kemba Walker. Maybe a connection that could work. And you may be able to find Jaylen Brown. I think you can definitely turn Jaylen Brown into assets. Because he's young, he's talented, and he's locked down in a contract. So someone who's just kind of trying to get rid of some stuff and maybe get up some draft picks.
And, I mean, it's still Boston. So it's a place that there's a lot of free agencies coming this year and next year, and that's a high market value, a place that they want to go play. So they have that going for them as
but
well.
But I mean, we will say, since we're talking about coaches,
yeah,
and since, you know, we're saying the coach is the most important part, the mm-hmm. big news that came out is Coach K's gone.
Coach K.
K's got one more year in him. So with Coach K leaving, Anthony, you have questions about Coach K.
All right. So first question. He has 12 Final Four appearances, 5 national titles, 3-time coach of the year, all-time winningest coach. Is he the greatest coach of all time?
College coach?
Yes.
College coach, I think he's definitely in that discussion. Well, but we're going to have to put, what's UCLA? Why am I drawing a
Wooden.
Point? Yeah, Wooden, I think, is still probably going to take it just because of
the
10 national titles and this that run he had. Mm. And the players they produced out of that. Because if you look at what Coach K has done, he's got some good NBA talent.
41 first-round picks.
No, and I get that. What I'm saying is there's not really... He's done it in a different way, which I think is what made Duke so powerful for so long, is they were able to keep guys past the freshman year, and they didn't have as many one-and-dones.
For sure.
They didn't have as many guys that were like, oh, yeah, we know after his freshman year he's the best in the league, and then he gets a sophomore year and he's gone. Which North Carolina had a lot more of those guys.
Yeah.
North Carolina was producing, you know, in that rivalry, it always went like, well, North Carolina's going to have some more down years.
Yeah.
I think with the longevity of how long he did it, it's you have to put him in that discussion. But Wooden still, I think, sits. That's a hard one to knock off.
It's a hard
one to go, well, you're better than him. But, you know, you got to say he's better than most other college coaches. I mean, even Dean Smith, you can put up there as an argument because of some of the players he had and the legacy he put that team. And I think this is the weird part when you look at his legacy, is that so many of the other coaches set up their school for dominance for another 20, 30 years. Like they basically, these guys built these teams into powerhouses and they left their teams in a better place.
Right.
Where you feel that Coach K is leaving things in a worse place than he found. Like now he picked the team up and brought him dominance, And then it's lowered back down because the new generation of basketball.
That's what I was going to say. Is that his fault or is that just the sign of the times? And is the era of powerhouses in college basketball, is that over?
No, it's not at all because you still see good teams. The question is the age of old coaches doing it the way old coaches did it, that's dead. Hmm. You no longer can recruit, expect people to stay.
Right.
And just basically beat people down and to get them into you can't beat people and form them into the way you want to form them.
So what is the new way? Because you look at it like there's the most transfer this year. You've got all these new leagues that high schoolers can go to and play and get paid and still go and be relevant in the NBA. Yeah. You look at what LaMelo Ball did. He went overseas for a few years and look how talented it is. It didn't dwindle his talent. It didn't make him less of a player. And if anything, I think it did him a service by going over there and playing in a professional league.
I think it did him a service playing wise. I think it did him a disservice that he would have been the number one overall pick if we had seen him play in college.
Sure, but
because
I
think you would have seen that talent level against people that you thought were at a talent level that the NBA is going to be at. I think he probably would have been the number one overall pick.
But my question for you then is, though, so what is college basketball? What do they do now?
That's the question. Look, we know my first answer, what it'll always be, is start paying players.
Yes.
That's the first easiest answer because then it changes everything. Where that transfer portal and everything else, because now we're getting into the contract era, and we can go, we're paying you. You sign the contract when you get here. You can't just walk away because we're paying you. And I'm not saying we're paying people by powerhouses or whatever else. I think there's just a way that you can take away this one loophole where they all go, hey, guys, none of us are here for the education. None of us want to be here for the education. You're making us come here. So we don't care. We want to go the best place to try and make it to the NBA. That's all we're using college for. We do not care about the education system. None of us are going to get a degree that's going to help us on later. And I think there are players that want to do that. But in college basketball, you say, if you want to keep that level of player, then you need to start paying players. If you don't, if you say, fine, get rid of the one and done rule. Just get rid of it. Say, you don't
that was
going to
be my next question.
Just go straight to the pro. We don't need you if you don't want to be here. Because I hate to break this to everybody. But the reason people like college basketball is not the level of play. If you like college more than pro, it's not because the level of play is better. The level of play is always better in the NBA.
Right.
But you can look at players and the styles are different and the way things are done, especially smaller schools. And there will still be the Steph Curry at Davidson.
Right.
Because Steph Curry ain't going straight to the NBA. And most guard play will be very good in college because guards, it's harder for them to go straight to the NBA, especially if you're 5'11 going into college. And you get a growth spurt in college, now you're 6'4". Well, now you're way more draftable.
Right.
And so I think that there's always going to be guard play. It's more that they were like, we need some bigs, but you're going to get those big 7-footers that want to, you know, that you need a lot of polishing. So I think they're still there. I think the one and done rule should definitely be gone. That was always silly to me.
Right.
I get it in the NFL why you have to have a buffer because the injury level and the concussion, it would be bad.
Yeah,
it'd be really bad to let 18-year-old kids go straight to the NFL. But that being said, in the NBA, I get the reason they did it had nothing to do with the kids either. Mm. The entire reason that rule was because too many franchises were blowing draft picks on guys that never played in the NBA. And they can say, well, yeah, it sucks. Like Jonathan Bender is a perfect example. He's like 6'11", and he was pretty well coordinated for 6'11", but he wasn't there at all.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't. He wasn't ready.
Right.
And instead of being able to go to a place where he was able to, you know, pick up and really get improvement around him, which in today's league, he could go to the D League and probably could have gotten some help. That guy was basically thrown to the wolves. He barely got playing time. He looked really bad when he did. And then he was a potential guy until the very end.
This sounds like somebody else I know. I think, that's right. Kwame Brown.
That's not like Kwame Brown because Kwame Brown played in the NBA for like 14 seasons.
Yeah, get out of here. Okay. So where do you think Coach K, do you think he's completely done with college basketball or do you see him coming back in like in a director of something or
I could see Coach K taking like a year or two off and then coming back as just an angry old man who yells at people.
He's a military guy.
I can see that is like the league just kind of because I also think the NCAA is not going to get rid of the one and done rule. They're not going to start paying players. And I mean, this is, you know, probably 5-10 years until maybe that happens.
Yeah.
Just because they're going to be stubborn and drive it into the ground. And it's going to become a thing where transfer schools are the thing. And every team is going to be hiring coaches who are better at transferring than recruiting. And I mean, we haven't seen much with Chris Beard yet at Texas,
yeah,
because I mean, we've only had him for an offseason,
right?
And we, you know, you couldn't do much recruiting at the time we got him, and he's brought in 5 transfers already. So you'll see how that works in a season. If Texas comes out and does better this year than they did last year, then you go, well, yeah, then why would everybody not do the transfer portal?
Right.
If you can basically take a team that lost a lot of guys and then rebuild this team in 1 year,
yeah,
why would you not do that instead of just constantly trying to, you know, get guys that you don't really know out of high school? But it's going to be a different age, and they need to get rid of one and done to just try and get rid of, you know, that element of the game. Just so you don't have so many, and you have, I mean, you have too many players that go to a team like Greg Brown, great player. He should have never been in a college team. He didn't want to be there.
Mm.
He didn't need to be there. He would have gone. He probably lost draft stock because
he played,
and he didn't really get much better because he couldn't get playing time because he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And I get it. I don't blame him, but it's a silly rule. Now, if you look at a guy like Kai Jones came out, was not a projected, like wasn't a big projection guy,
right,
wasn't going to go in the draft. And then he's bumped up to number 11, like a prospect of, you know, 10 to 15 guy.
Yeah.
So when you look at it that way, there are still players that it's going to work great for, but you just have to get rid of this notion that you and the NBA really need to have this connection like that. You just go, we're going to do our thing. They're going to do their thing. We understand we're building players up, but we're not the one and done. We're not the... Please don't use us as your immediate portal to the NBA.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I mean, is this for you? Is that where you see it? I mean, you're a Michigan fan, and Michigan's been doing well with Juwan Howard, but that's a younger coach that kind of is changing the game a little bit the way he's doing it.
Yeah, I mean, and his name is even getting thrown around in these head coach openings in the NBA. I'm a fan of what they're doing with these, like the G League. And
yeah,
and all these other leagues that are starting to pop up. I mean, I love college basketball, but until they start paying these players, do what's best for you. Get that money. I mean, it's not beneficial. You're not getting. I mean, there are the Kai Jones, like you were saying that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if you look at it at the end of the day, where you say the coach is getting paid $4 million, and it's more important for him to win than to get me to the NBA.
Yeah,
because it's more important for him to keep making that $4 million. Than for me to make $4 million, which is just, that's human nature.
Yeah.
The reason I like Shaka Smart is because I felt he was really in it for the students, but at the same point, he wasn't winning games, so he had to go. Yeah. But that's the thing, is I think there's a lot of coaches who care less about where the students go, and they want to keep making that $4 or $5 million a year. And then you go, if you're going to do that, at least pay the players, or put in a position where the players really might need to get an education, because that's not going to be their day job.
Yeah.
And then I'll go watch college basketball and can enjoy it.
Right.
But when it's a bunch of guys where every single interview you do after the game is them talking about how soon they can get to the NBA, I think that's maybe the problem with college basketball.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking NBA playoffs. They are disappointing, to say the least. How a Florida woman decided to air her grievances with steakhouses. Coming up later on the show on Into Series here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Back on Into Series here on the Horn. We've got done yelling about old coaching, so why don't we get into some NBA playoffs? It has been... I would say disappointing is the word I would use to describe
this
playoffs.
The nicest word you can say.
I know for you, you're a Lakers fan, and the Lakers just...
It's not Anthony, even...
The Anthony Davis injury kind of ruined that series, didn't it?
It ruined it, but I mean, it not only did it ruin the series, it ruined our team as a whole. Going forward, it's just... It is very clear we have created a problem. Let's just say that.
But we'll get into Lakers in a minute.
Sure.
I want to, you know, and then, yeah, the Mavs, of course, lose. It's been disappointing.
Disappointing from, and not even just those things, gameplay. Like, the games have been pretty lopsided, every single one. I think only three series went to game 6 or further.
Yeah.
It just very disappointing. I know injuries played a part in it, but, you know.
All right, but let's start off. We'll start off with talking about the young guys, because this is a series.
That is
true. Has been a playoff of young guys really coming out and showing off. Luka Doncic showing off. Well, there's a stat that he scored on like 32 of the 39 possessions.
Something like that in one game. Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you know, there's
the future is bright for the NBA. Yeah, for sure.
Ja Morant looked really good. Jason Tatum looked amazing when he was playing.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of benefits. But then the guy you have to stick out the most, who is becoming one of the most unlikable guys in the league,
and is but it looks good doing it. Is doing a great job.
He's being really doing well. I find it funny because he shouldn't be dislikable. Like.
But you and I don't even like him, and I can't even really tell you why.
And that's what I'm saying, though. He's a guy that you go, he kind of got shafted on trade day. He got traded in the draft and traded. You know, he's been disrespected. He's just a good player. I mean, maybe it's he went to Oklahoma, right? Is that why I hate him?
Oh, is it?
Is that what it is?
It is. Okay.
But I know, but I don't feel I hate him. I don't feel I hate him. When they were bad, I feel I was okay with Trae Young.
I think I
And then it's just now he constantly has that look on his face. Like, told you so.
Well, but see, I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't like him is because I heard there was like the team was disgruntled with him because he was a me first type player and was, you know, just running plays just for himself. But if it works, what are we supposed to do here?
But that's all right. But that
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true.
And this is where you look and you go, watch anything about Allen Iverson's career and you will see how sad of a career it really was. Because this guy was so good.
Yeah.
So good. But he just couldn't make it work with the team. And so by the NBA Finals, when he finally made it, he was so beat down and tired that they just went in and go, yeah, just double him. He's so on autopilot now that you double him. And he doesn't even remember how to pass a basketball. And now I know Trae Young's getting assists. But again, let me go back to my Russell Westbrook explanation.
No.
If you are constantly holding the ball for a long amounts of time, you're constantly trying to draw doubles and triples, you're going to get guys open, and those guys are going to shoot every time they touch the ball because they're so used to not getting the ball. Like, if you listen to Steve Kerr talk about Michael Jordan, Steve Kerr's like, if you got it, you shot it.
Sure.
Because that's the only time you're touching the ball in the game. Yeah. You're touching the ball four times. You take four shots that game.
So
your assists go up in that type of system because you're not sharing the ball. So that's the one where you go, if team assists are 12 and you have 10 of them, that's not a good sign. And now that's a made-up stat. But that's just something that always bothers me with guys like that, that they get these assist numbers. And then at a point you're like, well, yeah, because they're the only guy allowed to touch the ball until the ball gets shot.
I agree with what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But I will say that watching him play, it does look like he has matured within just this one season. He has become more of a team player, it looks like. And he is so young that those disadvantages or those things that were negative for Allen Iverson and Russell Westbrook, I think he can learn to not be that player. He can learn from the past.
And that's curious. And I'm a big Nate McMillan fan. So I'm a fan of him as a coach. I think that he is a type of coach that works well with a Trae Young player.
Yeah.
To go, look, I'm all about shooting the basketball. I'm all about running fast and doing all that. But we got to put it into a place where we can, you know, find the right plays and we can win games. Because if we can win games, you're going to be happy. So let's find this happy medium. And I think they found it.
Yeah.
Now the question is, if Embiid and Simmons get back healthy, is this even going to matter? Because if you get a healthy Philly team, they should be able to handle this.
They should be. Yeah, for sure. So real quick, if you had to switch, if that trade never happened, do you think this...
Oh, I take Luka 100 times out of 100.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he played a better game. And yeah, he came up a little short in game 17, but I think that's...
He didn't have a team built around him.
Yeah, and that's... It's a different team. And Luka... He's in a game one right now, and he's in the East. So we could see. If it goes to game seven against Philly, if he comes out, then maybe that changes people's opinions.
Yeah.
If he comes out in game seven and puts up 30 in the second half and takes him a win over Philly, then, yeah, I think you can go, okay, well, maybe this is a different player.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair to compare game one in the Eastern Conference versus a game seven in the Western.
For sure.
The Lakers will get back, too.
Yeah.
You're now in a place as a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
Are you in a this is it? This is it phase, or are you still trying to take in this playoff loss? You know, Anthony Davis goes down injured, which as much as everybody talked about him being injury prone, then they made excuses for it and said, "No, well, he's not really injury prone. It's kind of that's a reputation that doesn't make sense." And then he gets hurt all season. Gets hurt in the playoffs
every play he gets hurt.
Basically. And so Is this a problem that's going to be? Now you got free agents coming up. You clearly didn't get over that hump.
Yeah.
You got injuries. Yeah. LeBron is getting older.
Yeah.
Oh, where do the Lakers go?
Well, so that's the problem. And I got to stay somewhat humble and just remind myself we did win a title last year.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to remind myself that. But I don't know where we go. It's a huge ordeal. It's a huge problem because we have all these upcoming free agents. This team is clearly not built correctly. With Andre Drummond, that was a huge mistake. Montrezl Harrell not being used properly. And then a lot of players that we entrusted and did not do what they needed to do. Kyle Kuzma just fell flat in this series.
Yeah.
So did Caruso. And, you know, I'm a big Caruso truther, so it hurts me to say that. But
both free agents, though.
I don't see Kuzma coming back. I don't see us trying to get Kuzma to come back. Caruso is legitimately like a team favorite.
Yeah, I can see them trying to get him back. The question is, how much money does he want versus how much is the Lakers going to pay him?
Yeah, and then what do we do? What do we have? Because we don't even have a draft pick till 2027, something like that. It's insane. So we're honestly in this very awkward, uncomfortable situation that we might not make it to a conference semifinals next couple years. I don't know what we do. I don't know. Do we give up on the AD? What do we do? I don't know.
I mean, I think the Lakers, I think the obvious Lakers fan choice is you do everything in your power to get Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it.
I think that's what Lakers fans will say. I don't know how the reality of that is.
It would be a straight up AD for Lillard.
I think you have to throw in more in that because I think that Portland does not want to trade him to the Lakers. I think they go, we can get another star player. We can get other things if we trade him to the Eastern Conference and not necessarily put ourselves up against that every year.
And this is how fickle Laker fans are, because I'll admit this. I would take that trade. Anthony Davis is dead to me.
He's
now.
Dead to me.
Yeah, give me Lillard.
All right. Then we'll step out to the other LA team. The Clippers, they come back. They win game seven against the Mavs. Kawhi Leonard just making our lives miserable. Is this team a finals team? Is it a championship team?
I mean, if you look at how they're playing, Kawhi Leonard is an enigma, because during the season, he wasn't even in the conversation of MVP. But then when the playoffs start, you look at what he's doing. And it was the first few games, you were like, he's still playing lazy. He's not playing. He doesn't want to play defense anymore. Yeah. And then when it mattered, the last two games, he stuck on Luka. Now, obviously, he didn't shut him down, but he forced other players that they don't have, the Mavericks have, to do something with the ball. And so he basically took over those games. And it's just like Toronto all over again. It's like San Antonio. I don't want to say it. I'm not, it's going to be my nightmare if the Clippers win.
I'm not a fan of the Clippers winning. Anything with Kawhi Leonard, I prefer. I'm going for Danny Green winning in the Sixers. Just to get Danny Green a ring with another team.
How do you always find a way to bring in Danny Green in these conversations?
You know what? Danny Green's a good guy. Danny, if you ever want to come on Insincere, you're always welcome, buddy. We'll skip over here. We'll go straight to predictions.
Yeah.
Sixers, Hawks. We talk about, this has got to still be a Sixers series, right?
Not if Embiid, he has a torn meniscus. Do you understand that? It's insane that he's even playing.
Now, it depends on how bad the tear is, but.
But one simple move and it could be completely done. I don't know. I still say Sixers, but I think the Hawks could pull it through.
Bucks next.
Again, the Bucks should win this one. They should.
And Harden's out.
But I will say this. That first game, the Bucks shot terribly. One of the worst of their season.
That's kind of been what they've been doing.
We'll see what happens this game. Game two is tonight. We'll see what they do. I'm going to say Bucks, though.
I got Bucks in that one as well. Jazz Clippers. Now we're starting to get interesting.
Now we're getting interesting. Who guards, what's his name? Is it Jokic?
Jokic? That's for the Nuggets.
That's the Nuggets. Yeah, and that's the Phoenix. I got it's Clippers. It's Kawhi.
It's Clippers. I think it goes seven, and then Kawhi somehow just pulls it out to seven and just daggers Nards. But it's Utah fans, so look, I'm all for you guys. I think you built a good team, but and then yes, Nuggets, Suns,
Jokic. That's the game. That's the problem. Is I want to go for Phoenix, but after DeAndre Ayton, they have nobody to guard him because Frank the Tank's going to come in and do anything? No.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the one where you wish Jamal Murray was there, because then I feel it's more decisive.
It's more decisive. I'm still going to say Phoenix just because I want, now that my Lakers are out, I want CP3 to get his title.
He hit that layup against Tim Duncan in game seven, and
that's
I'm done.
What makes it even
and
so
done
much
with him.
Better.
Just forget it, Chris Paul. You don't deserve one. You hit that. You just missed that shot. I'm fine with you. But you hit that shot, Chris Paul. Never again. Let's do some rapid fire topics. Are you ready? You want to shoot some off for me, Anthony?
All right. Let's talk about the Paul versus Mayweather match. What did you think?
The Logan Paul. I think it's Logan Paul.
I have no idea. It's Logan Paul. That's why I said Paul.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's stupid. The fact that we're pretending that he won a fight because he hit 10% of his punches and didn't go down to a guy who weighs 40 less pounds than him. Oh, he didn't go down to the guy who was trying not to knock him out? That this guy that's just doing a favor gig? It was pathetic. It was pathetic. I didn't watch it, but I can tell you.
I didn't watch it either.
I wouldn't have been so mad if the reactions weren't so glowingly positive that they were like, oh, this kid who's way bigger than Floyd Mayweather can take a punch.
I will say this, though. There was a lot of glowing positivity coming from actual athletes, even MMA fighters. Yeah. So if they are saying
because they want $20 million.
There it is.
Floyd Mayweather looking like he's fighting a Make-A-Wish kid and just taking it easy on him.
All right. What do you think about the Julio Jones getting traded to the Tennessee Titans?
I think that Brandon Cooks is the most overrated receiver in the history of the NFL. That guy has been traded for a first twice.
Wow.
Twice.
I didn't know where you were going with, but
DeAndre Hopkins, second round pick.
But that's
Julio Jones,
that's Houston.
Second round pick.
That's the Texans doing Texans.
Brandon
stuff.
Cooks twice got traded for a first round pick.
But he's
the only wide receiver in the last like 10 years who goes for a number one, and all these other guys are getting number twos. How is Brandon Cooks getting that done? Yeah. I think it's a great deal for Tennessee. It's a great deal. That team is, I mean, the AFC South with Jacksonville getting Urban Meyer in there, and you see what Indianapolis is doing, adding pieces in Tennessee. I don't see how the Texans are winning three games this year. This is going to be a bad year.
It's going to be a rough
year.
You
add Julio Jones into that because A.J. Brown was a really good receiver, right, but not quite as consistent. And now when you throw in those matchups with secondaries, I think it improves A.J. Brown so much more too.
That defense isn't going to know what to do with that and Derrick Henry.
And all right, let's put it this way. Ryan Tannehill's got to be like, man, I was out of the league a few years ago, and now I got A.J.
Dolphins,
Brown,
yeah.
Ryan Tannehill. Derrick Henry's in my backfield with me.
God bless Adam Gase. All right, and lastly, the pitching scandal. The chickens have come home to roost. The Dodgers are finally getting theirs.
They're not, to an extent. They're getting called out now. People are finally starting to go at the Dodgers. The Dodgers, there's an article that came out recently in Sports Illustrated. They're talking basically about the spin rate.
Yeah.
And the spin rate was something that the Astros were accused of when their pitching started to get better. And then everybody in the league started to catch on. And this year, first of all, they've deadened the balls, everybody's saying, because we know we had the live ball and now they're dead balls. Yeah. So that's why we're getting less home runs. But then also the spin rate has increased for everybody across the league. Basically all pitching staffs, the spin rate has increased by like 1-2% over the team average. And then they were like, yeah, but it goes up a little bit. And then there's like a few teams, like I think the Giants are one of them. And a couple other teams, it went up like 2-3% more or 4%. And the Dodgers up like 6-8% across the board of their spin rate.
Yeah.
They have Trevor Bauer, who has been known to be like, oh, I created the substance. I can do it. There was games he said he did it in. There was one game I know he did it. He pitched like perfect and then pulled himself in like the sixth inning because basically he knew he was cheating.
That's insane.
And there's all these stories of this stuff. Yeah. And he basically says, look, I don't mind cheating because the rest of the league is cheating. But this is a Dodgers team who goes against the Astros because they lost and gets all mad because they were cheating. Oh, yeah, everybody's cheating. We did it in a bad way. We deserve to be punished
for sure
as Astros. But at the same point, you shouldn't say, you're right, none of those players should ever be allowed to play in the league again when you all know that you're cheating now and you still just go, well, but everybody does it. Because that's the same logic the Astros did when they were cheating. They knew it was wrong, but they said everybody else does it. And then, as much as you hate Jose Altuve, he didn't do it because he said it was wrong.
Yeah.
So take your hate and your misinformed nonsense and get rid of it. I'm sorry that he hit a home run off Chapman. He wasn't wearing a buzzer. He's just a weird little man. He's 5'5 and an MLB MVP. And you want to take that away from the man because he doesn't want to show off his abs on TV.
There's the rant I was waiting for.
We got to take a break. We come back. We're going to tell you what Outback Steakhouse and topless women have in common in Florida. The secret is, it's not drugs. Talk about it when we get back on the Horn 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. All right, back on Instant Serious. Time for some Instant Serious news. Anthony, are you ready?
I'm ready, Miles. Don't listen to these.
A man in England who is 55 years old has claimed for years that he's the secret love child of Charles and Camilla, the royal part of the royal family. He has shown new pictures and basically said, look, if you don't see it now, that's your problem. It's your problem. You don't get it.
Yeah.
The man has claimed this for many years. He's an adopted guy. So he says that he is the love child There is a slight problem with this theory.
What's the problem?
The problem is he was born several years before they met.
That we know of.
That we know of.
That's how love trials are made.
So, Anthony, I want to ask you, if you could pick your fake parents,
yeah,
would you go royal family and be like, you know, would you, are you a royal family? Or are you going somewhere else?
I mean, in a sense, they're royal family. I'd go Oprah and Stedman. That's mad money right there.
They never did it.
Well, that's what makes it even more interesting. Right?
Stedman goes, I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. let's see. Our next story will come to us. Excited lottery winner in Michigan was scratching the lottery ticket. Yeah. 59-year-old man scratching the lottery ticket. 59-year-old man scratching the lottery ticket. Wins $1 million on the lottery ticket. Gets so excited while he's sitting in his car, he just drives off. Problem is, he's plugged in and getting gas, Anthony.
Because he's got that FU money now. He doesn't care. I'll do what I want.
Have you ever had that moment in your life where something good happens and something bad happens so quickly where you're like, I want $1 million, and you hit the gas so excited, and then you just hear, kun-kun-kun-push, and then gas spray everywhere?
Well, no, I've never won $1 million or any of those things. No, I can't think. I've definitely ruined a lot of surprises. I mean, that's kind of close to the same thing. I ruined my dad's 40th once.
Yeah.
We were on our way to his birthday. And in the car, I just blurted it out. That's where we were going. Not thinking.
You were like, oh, this party's going to be awesome.
Something along those lines. And he was like, what party? So, I think
surprise one that we're throwing for you, dummy. Have you not figured it out yet? I don't know. I don't know a moment like that. I feel like that's one of those moments of like where you walk out with a birthday cake.
Oh, and then you trip.
And you trip.
Yeah.
So we were like, everyone's like, ooh, what a nice cake. And then you just eat it on the ground. But then you can't even be mad that like someone left out something because so you do that weird thing where you're like, I don't even know what happened. It's like, all right, no, but okay. Look, we're all having fun though. We're all having fun. Everybody stop looking at me. Yeah. Driving off this guy. First of all, he said he's been playing this lottery, this same lottery for years and years. And he finally won the million. I'm like, dude, you have sacrificed probably $100,000 into this thing. You're probably still up. You're probably still up on it, but
I might do it just on purpose, just because I have the money now. I'd be like, I'll pay for it. It's nothing to me.
They go, sir, give us a ticket.
Yeah. No, he's like, this is the whole thing.
No. our next story, just the headline alone. I love. Canada interrupted by sex toy on drone, punch dead event. A New Mexico sheriff is running for the mayor of Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Was on stage when a drone came flying with a certain sex toy attached to it, apparently distracting the crowd.
Yeah.
And then when the event coordinator grabbed it.
Yeah. He grabbed the toy or?
Well, you're not going to grab the drone. That seems dangerous.
I mean, I'd probably go for the drone.
So he grabs the thing and that apparently infuriates the young man whose plan it was to distract the event, who just then runs on stage and punches the guy.
I love it all.
Oh, and it's a 20-year-old. And then this is the best part. They were like, you know, I bet it is my opponent. You're like, really? Please tell me Albuquerque politics is the most exciting politics ever. That the other guy running for a mayor of a city. It's a mayor too. Mayor of Albuquerque. Imagine someone running against Steven Adler. And then you see a Steven Adler thing. Just sex toy drones.
So was his game plan to like drop it on his head?
I think he was going to try and hit him with the sex toy.
Nice.
But then he couldn't. He was like, going to hit him anyway. So that was.
Yeah, there's no question. Don't ask me a question about that.
I just think that is a wonderful way.
That's fantastic.
I feel like if I was planning, a coup or
to sabotage
someone's event,
that's the way
I wouldn't go with something that would have. I wouldn't go sex toy.
What?
I wouldn't go sex. I wouldn't put myself in a position where I at some point would have to use a word I can't use on the radio in a press conference.
I got it.
When the phallic object was circling the event, I don't want to have to do that when I'm putting in my resignation.
Yeah, but you're making everybody else have to say that. That's great.
And our final story comes to us from Florida. Where else? And this is how you know Florida news has gotten so crazy. I think cities have said to stop naming cities. And now it just says Central Florida. So you have an general idea. It
doesn't matter.
That a woman was caught naked in a... she was in a place called a Mojo Grill. She was in a Mojo Grill.
Yeah.
She apparently was earlier in the day at an Outback Steakhouse naked and throwing bottles and knocking over tables.
I feel the same way when they run out of Bloomin' Onions.
This is my problem, though. They never say in the story what they just said. She was only on THC. So she was just smoking some weed.
Yeah.
So, by the way, anti-weed people, take this story and run with it.
Seriously.
I don't know what could be the reason how you get that mad, because I get flipping over tables and throwing bottles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the naked part.
You're in Florida. It's hot.
You're just like, you know what? Before I go crazy, let's cool the air.
She tried to cool down.
She was like, you know, cool down. They were like, ma'am, your boobies are out. And she goes,
so I'll show you.
And then goes to the other grill. Now, if you're at the other place, you were Outback, I'm assuming it started.
Yeah.
So she started Outback where something went wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the waiter just treated her poorly. And she's like, oh, you want a tip? Here's a tip. And then she just goes to the other place. And they're like, and just walks in like, I need a drink. And they're like, ma'am. She's like, oh, we're doing it again. impressive move by this Florida woman. I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Florida never changed.
Never changed, Florida. Except, you know, you're voting. Other than that, we got to get out of here. Thanks again to Anthony White. Everybody tunes in. We'll be back next week with more Insincerious. Same time, same channel. We'll see you until then. Keep your underwear clean. We'll see you next week. Peace.